The whole world's in a frantic search of happiness. We must understand that happiness is simply superficial and relies upon the physical attributes of life, relationships, things of this nature. Then there is a true happiness, a happiness that resides deep in the soul and heart of an individual, joy. In spite of what one may lose otherwise or not have, and it's all through orientation to Bible doctrine. As I stated, as much as your SCA would try to convince you otherwise in looking at the world and people that supposedly have a lot of money, a lot of things, etc., and how happy they must be, you will not be any happier in this life outside of orientation to Bible doctrine. I don't care how happy you may be, find yourself in between. You won't be any happier over life. And understand, trust me, these people, a lot of that's just a facade. If you look at the history of a lot of these people, their life is miserable. Unbelievable, some of the stuff that these people are undergoing in grief and misery. Relationships are not sound, and all kinds of crazy things. Anyway. We are after true happiness. And as we've seen through example, Leah, that comes, happiness brings contentment when one is oriented to Bible doctrine. So Roman numeral 1, vocabulary here in the Hebrew, A1, we have esher, E-S-H-E-R. It's a masculine noun. It's found only in the plural construct, derived from the verb asher, A-S-H-E-R, which means to be straight or right, to go straight on, to be successful, prosperous, or fortunate. Straight as an arrow, if you will. Hence, the word is translated fully or completely happy, blessed, and refers to the one that is to be congratulated due to their spiritual prosperity and well-being. Example, Psalm 1:1. Here translated blessed, how blessed, the share, is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners. That blessing is associated directly with contentment and happiness and joy. And it's all within, even though it is obviously expressed overtly quite often. Blessed is the man is the positive individual, the positive believer in time. Versus negative volition. The believer that is truly willing to apply the doctrine of separation in regards to not only the viewpoint of the world, but the people that promote that viewpoint. As the doctrine of separation correctly articulates in its proper balance, it does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. The wicked being the negative individual. It begins with the unbeliever, obviously. And to listen to them and their philosophy of life. And then trying to utilize that, if you will, in regards to your own life rather than letting doctrine determine these things. Nor stand in the path of sinners. The doctrine of separation is when performs their life, they devise and organize their life so they can avoid being in the path of these people. They're not going to be the ones that they hang out with. See, and trust me, when you apply these things, the world often takes it offense in regards to your applications. I've been there, done that. Now, I've tested the integrity of God's Word, and I guarantee you hang in there with it long enough, you'll be testing these areas on the job and otherwise, because you stand for doctrine. But don't think that all of a sudden now all of your future potential prosperity and advancement and all these other things are somehow now nil. It doesn't work that way. God's still there. God can bless you in spite of what even the most powerful people may do to undo that. See? He knows how to work these things way beyond the capability of men. And that's a doctrine of separation. I don't know how else, I mean, other than the umpteenth time that I've brought forth how important it is in regards to your Christian life and maintaining your own spiritual integrity in regards to time and proper witness to others around you. I hear the excuses and I see the misapplications, but what I don't see is any success, even though people will often claim if you don't associate and rub elbows with these people, then how can you have any success? Okay. Take that circle of argument, throw it like a frisbee and see where it lands. Nor sit at the seat of scoffers. People that blaspheme. By blaspheme, they ridicule Bible doctrine. See? And don't think that only unbelievers are able to do this. People that are running under STAs, they may be a believer and even have time in great under doctrine, can be a scoffer. Even though the verse particularly is comparing believers and unbelievers, technically. But we recognize it. How big a scoffer can an unbeliever be? They can scoff so much that they come find themselves in no second chance category of reversionism. That's my validation. Our salvation is this book in front of us that we keep coming back to week after week after week. And we keep putting our nose in it, trying to learn these things. And it's not only deliverance for you, it's deliverance for the communicator himself. Not to let himself become distracted with things out in the cosmos. And all of a sudden find himself chasing things down a rabbit hole that he'll never find the end of. So, you know. It works both ways. The doctrine of separation. Again, it doesn't dismiss the importance of witness, but it does determine who you're going to embrace as your close associations and comrades in time in regards to the angelic conflict. As long as you want to hobnob with them, all you're doing is sending the message you're okay. Or else that doctrine really is not that important to me or whatever. See. Two, the verb giyl, G-I-Y-L. It literally means to go in a circle. to dance or leap for joy. You can see the circle. To be exuberant. The masculine noun has the exact same spelling and means exultation or extreme rejoicing. There was one time King David was so happy, so exuberant, he was dancing in the streets butt naked. Let the fundies put that in their pipe and smoke it. Did he sin? I don't think so. He's exposed to God. See. Now, I don't suggest that you go off and do that. Save our eyes for us, please. Three, you have the verb kadah, C-H-A-D-H-A-H. In the cow stem, it means to be happy. In the PL stem, which you would translate it utterly, completely. It means to make happy. Its derivative noun, kedewa, C-H-E-D-E-W-A-H, Hebrew and Chaldea, means gladness or joy. For you have the verb ranan, R-A-N-A-N, means to lift up the voice, to shout with joy, either in an articulate fashion, such as singing, or in an articulate fashion, or in an inarticulate fashion. Just to do it. It's derivative noun, but na-na means shouting or singing for joy. Five, you have the verb sus, S-U-S. It means to rejoice, be glad, exult, to be exuberant. A, you have the masculine noun sason that comes as a derivative, S-A-S-O-N, translated joy, gladness, mirth. B, the noun masos, or masos, M-A-S-O-S, masculine noun, that which makes one joyful or glad, the object or cause of joy. Six, you have the verb samach, S-A-M-A-C-H. It means to rejoice, to be glad. This word emphasizes the happy or joyful countenance it shows on your face. B, in the Greek family of words, you have agaliao, A-G-A-L-L-I-A-O, the verb. It means to exalt or rejoice exceedingly, to express happiness. Not always dour, dull face, but has glistening of happiness. Two, you have the verb euphraino, E-U-P-H-R-A-I-N-O, to express joy or gladness, to make merry, to have a party. It's derived from you, E-U, and frame, or yeah, frame, P-H-R-E-N, which is a good or well heart. Not like in a drunken party, but a party atmosphere, a party spirit. Three, you have the adjective makarios, M-A-K-A-R-I-O-S. It denotes one that is happy and to be congratulated due to their spiritual prosperity and felicity, their integrity. For the verb kairo is the most common verb for happiness. C-H-A-I-R-O means to rejoice, to be glad or happy. From that, you have the cognate verb sug kairo, the compound S-U-G-C-H-A-I-R-O, means to rejoice with someone, to be happy with someone. It's always fun to share happiness with others. Misery may like company, so does happiness. And B, kara is the noun, C-H-A-R-A, means joy, gladness. We refer to that joy, inner joy, as plus H, plus J, happiness that is divinely inspired. Comes from God. It's based on righteousness. So two, definition and description then of what it means to be happy or joyful. A, Webster defines joy or happiness as the emotion that is excited by the acquisition or expectation of good, in anticipation of something really good happening. One obviously becomes emotionally ecstatic over it often, and hence happy. Denotes one that is favored by circumstances, be it by pleasure, well-being, or of good fortune. Good providence would be how we would look at that. B, doctrinally, denotes a person that in their relationship with God is the object that in their relationship with God is the object of his blessing and joy or happiness. His plus H is the natural byproduct. So again, rereading that point, doctrinally it denotes the person that in their relationship with God is the object, that person, of his blessing and joy or happiness is the natural byproduct. Preoccupation with Christ produces or the natural byproduct of happiness. So see, that plus H is so intimately connected with blessing, points to the fact that one that is favored by God should be truly happy. That's when you're going to find your maximum response of happiness, is when you're occupied with God, you recognize his hand. Yeah, this is God in this, see. Some of the most contentment things that, you know, personally I can look back on my own aspects of life, like when I travel. You know, everything else in the world may go wrong, but if God blesses the weather for me on my travel, I'm a happy camper. You know, I hate driving in bad weather. And God answers your prayers. And you take that blessing, and it's elevated in regards to its impact in regards to your emotions. See, just, that's just a stupid example, simple example, but an example nevertheless. Yeah, you can rain all you want after I get there. Maybe everybody else's day is ruined, but you know, high and dry, I'm on the drive there, on the drive back. Way to go. But it doesn't usually end there. Why weather? Because God controls that. I mean, that is evidence of his power unbelievably. And when God's answering your prayers, your weather prayers, then, you know, you'll have the insight like Patton. That man deserves a promotion. You know, if you ever heard that story in regards to the weather prayer, he asked the chaplain to shoot up so he could go out and kill Germans. a concept that a lot of millennials today would go, oh, can't believe that, the liberals or whatever. The maladjusted millennials, I add that, maladjusted. If you're a millennial, don't take offense at me. C, D, synonyms, include felicity or ecstasy, blessedness, beatitudes, Sermon on the Mount, the beatitudes or blessings, and bliss. And denotes an inner and or emotional contentment laced with joy due to one's realizing favor with God because of one's orientation. That's where they really drive the substance or the foundation of their happiness. The physical blessing itself is just icing on the cake, so to speak. So how I would express that. A plus H may or may not be expressed overtly. It doesn't always have to show out in a smile or a laugh or doing backflips or whatever. And now the opposite antonyms for happiness, point E, include adversity, disaster, misery, sadness, unhappiness, and depression. As a result of coming under God's wrath, displeasure or testing, often through disorientation to doctrine, etc., mankind seeks to counter their unhappiness with the pursuit of the cosmos, the frantic search of happiness of the world, satisfying their STAs and or finding relief by engaging in human good, producing a counterfeit happiness, counterfeit divine blessing, if you will, made up through their own little gods. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. Ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us these things in Jesus' name. Amen.